The Medical Alley podcast is brought to you by MentorMate. For over 20 years, the healthcare industry's largest companies have trusted MentorMate to guide their vision while designing and developing innovative digital products. Whether you're powering a medical device, overhauling your back-end architecture, or reimagining your patient experience, MentorMate can help. Their global team takes a personalized and in-depth approach to deliver secure solutions in all sectors of healthcare. With deep expertise in design, development, cloud, and software support, MentorMate helps healthcare clients administer state-of-the-art care through technology. Trusted guidance, global expertise, secure integration. MentorMate delivers digital transformation at scale. Learn more at MentorMate.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone out there in Medical Alley. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Medical Alley podcast. Today we are joined from one of our members that physically is the furthest away from Medical Alley's headquarters, but is closely connected to the community, the ecosystem, and to the industry. I'm so pleased to be joined by Claude Saltario, who's the Managing Director of MediBio. Claude, how are you doing today? And maybe could you introduce yourself for the audience?
Sure. Hi there, Frank. And I'm very pleased to be here with you today because I value our association with Medical Alley very much, and I'm pleased to be here. So thanks for the opportunity. And as you quite rightly say, I'm the Managing Director and also one of the founding shareholders of MediBio Limited.
Indeed. Well, tell us a bit about MediBio. Like, what is the company? What are you guys working on? And I know it's in the mental and behavioral health space, which has been a big, big area, but you guys have a pretty unique approach.
We do. And look, essentially, MediBio is a mental health technology company, and we use artificial intelligence to identify biomarkers and patterns to identify mental illness with a particular focus on depression. So in other words, we're looking for markers and patterns in the patient's own body that will provide us an indication of a mental health condition. And essentially, we're looking at converting what currently are subjective methods, subjectivity, into objectivity when it comes to mental illness.
And that seems like a really important point, that objective piece of it. What's the value of having more objective data in making diagnoses and helping to treat patients?
Let me answer that by saying this. In 2014, the National Institute of Mental Health in the USA came out and said that they would no longer endorse DSM-5 due to its subjectivity.
Wow.
That's a huge statement for an industry body to come out with. And they further went on to say that we needed an objective method of identifying mental illness. Now, that was music to my ears at the time because, you know, we had been looking at that very process or that very thing for, you know, years by then. So, look, the problem with subjective methods is that they depend heavily on the skill of the clinician and the candor of the patient, which in turn leads to variable outcomes. This may also lead to misdiagnosis that in turn presents itself in inadequate or inappropriate treatment. So, you know, it's important to change subjective methods into objective methods using the patient's own biology rather than someone's opinion of what they perceive themselves to be.
Indeed, right. And it's clear, especially in mental and behavioral health, so much of it is, right, what we tell the clinician, what the clinician knows.
Exactly.
It's very easy to understand how not having good objective biomarker type measurements could make treatment very variable. It could, as you said, misdiagnosed or even missed diagnoses.
Yes.
Makes
exactly.
A ton of sense.
And the other point I'll make, Frank, is that, you know, anyone who's been touched by depression or who knows someone that's been touched by depression, sometimes it takes months, if not years, to diagnose.
Right.
So with the method that we're coming up with, you know, within 24 hours, you will be able to have an assessment. Now, I should add, we would never believe that we would replace a clinician's diagnosis. Mm-hmm. What we aim to do is to give the clinician with the best possible objective data upon which he can make a diagnosis, or she can make a diagnosis.
Indeed, right. Like having that better diagnostic, having better data, they can better care for their patients. And also, I would imagine, with objective data, get more consistent results and information on therapies that are working or other things that might improve outcomes for future patients as well.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
Well, maybe going back a little bit, how'd this get started? Where'd the company come from? How'd we get to this point?
That's a very good question. And I'd like to tell this story because it starts way back in 2007 when the company was formed. In fact, it starts before 2007, but let me take you back when we started the company. And it was a meeting between myself and two psychiatrists in Western Australia. And they were searching for a better way or a quicker way of diagnosing depression, which, as we said earlier, often is difficult to diagnose. So what they were doing is they were looking at heart rate activity over a 24-hour period. They hypothesized that mental illness affects the central nervous system, which in turn affects heart rate activity. They used to say that the heart is the window into the central nervous system. So they were looking at heart rate activity to locate the disruption between, or to identify the disruption between mind and body, if I can put it that way. So in particular, they were looking at overnight heart rate activity because that's where there are no external influences. During the day, you have all sorts of things that would make your stress levels go up and down, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a mental illness, of course. So they were looking at overnight heart rate activity where there were no external influences and the heart rate ought to be calm and some heart rate patterns that displayed something other than being calm, you know, they indicate that there was something else going on. The studies resulted in sufficient evidence of certain heart rate patterns being typical of mental health, of certain mental health conditions. So that gave us enormous confidence to continue to research that area. So they knew what the heart rate of a person that was not suffering from a mental illness should look like. In other words, someone that's normal, that doesn't have a mental illness, they knew what that heart rate activity level should be. So anything that was outside of that, they hypothesized that there was something going on with the mind that was affecting the central nervous system. So I immediately saw the value in what they were trying to do. You know, if we could prove this up as a method of objectively diagnosing a mental health condition, it would make such a difference to people's lives, not only of the patients themselves, but also of everybody around them, their work colleagues, their family, their friends. So I thought to myself, imagine diagnosing a mental health condition within 24 hours. You know, how powerful could that be? So I incorporated a company within which the research continued. And then in 2015, it became MediBio Limited, and the research continued under the banner of MediBio Limited. So it's interesting that the research we undertake today is very different from the research that we were doing back then, because today we have very good heart rate monitors that can monitor your heart rate for days.
Right.
When we started, we had to manufacture our own heart rate monitor because we couldn't find one that went for more than 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you know, we had to look at heart rate variability. We had to look at minute-by-minute heart rate. So we looked at certain things then. We're looking at very different things today. We're looking at heart rate variability today, and we're using artificial intelligence, which wasn't around back then, deep learning algorithms and neural network methodology. All of these methods have just evolved since we started looking at the methods that we're looking at. So the basic principle, even though the
methods right.
are, basic principle is the same, and that is that mental illness disrupts your central nervous system, and then you can see that disruption by looking at your heart rate and heart rate variability.
Oh, that's amazing. Like it reminds me a lot that so often there are things we come to understand, but we don't yet have the right tools to fully appreciate it or interrogate it or develop it. And so as these other technologies have advanced, you guys have been able to build on that hypothesis and really prove out the situation better than you probably could have imagined, you know, back in 2007 when it was getting going.
Oh, yeah. Look, Frank, I have to smile when I look at the heart rate monitors that we used to use in those days compared to what you can use today. There were leads and wires going everywhere, whereas today you can literally find a heart rate monitor as big as a 20-cent piece and
indeed,
you put it on your chest and there you go for days. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. You mentioned with the two psychiatrists in Western Australia, and I had alluded to this, that you guys are a little bit far away from Minneapolis and St. Paul in Australia, but the business operates globally and from a pretty early stage. Can you talk about that? Like, A, where is the company? And then B, how do you think about, you know, a global market or being a global business as a startup or scale-up company?
We really are a global company. If we look internally, we have software developers in the Ukraine. We have our medical team in Italy and the US, of course. We have our regulatory affairs team here in the US. We have people in Australia. So we really do seek the skills where they are globally. So we don't limit ourselves to international borders. But I have to say that our main focus is the US. And it is the US because not only because it's a large market here, but also with our first product going through FDA processes, you know, if we're successful in achieving FDA approval, then other regulatory regimes around the world tend to follow suit. So our main focus from a developmental point of view and a commercial point of view is the USA.
I know given it's a pre-commercial product, you can't say too many things, but can you tell us what is that first product that you're working on that, you know, if it's cleared, would come to market?
Yeah. Well, look, I should say that we have two business units in the company. We have a clinical business unit and a non-clinical business unit. In terms of the clinical business unit, which is where the company started, we are focusing on identifying depression in patients that undergo a sleep study because they have a sleep disturbance problem. I think it's fairly well known and documented now that people that suffer from sleep disturbance also, most if not all, have some mental health problem as well, you know, anxiety, depression. So that's where we've started. Now, our product is going through the FDA as we speak. In fact, we've had a pre-submission with the FDA to agree on endpoints for the final validation trial of what we call MEB-001, which is our set of algorithms or software that identifies depression in patients that undergo sleep study. So that's very exciting for us.
Yeah.
It's a big market. I mean, mental health is a big issue these days. And, you know, whatever measure you want to choose, whether it's annual health spending or the sheer numbers of people that are touched by mental health problems, in any way one cares to look at the problem, it's a huge market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our clinical side of the business. We do have another one or two products that are in the developmental pipeline, but we're focusing very much on the MEB-001, which is at the doorstep of FDA final FDA approval. So we hope to finalize the validation trial over the next 6 months, and then the data from that trial will be used to apply for FDA approval. If we achieve that, we can lay claim to being the world's first company that has a regulated, objective, data-driven test for a mental health condition. So, that'd be tremendous. And look, it's not only great for us, but it's also good for the industry. I think it will enable the industry, or it will make the industry look at the diagnosis of depression perhaps in a different way. I don't want to use the word revolutionize, but it will be revolutionary in the industry.
Mm-hmm. It'll step up the game and kind of step up the expectations for patients, clinicians, and the industry in a very positive way.
Yeah, indeed. I think so.
Very nice.
I haven't finished answering you. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah.
The non-clinical side. See, what we thought in the early days was that the FDA process is a long and arduous one. But how can we take the knowledge that we've gained over the years and how can we apply that to a lot sooner? So what we did is we developed two products. They're essentially apps one that targets the consumer directly, and that measures your stress levels and helps you manage them, so to keep you out of the red zone, if I can put it that way. And the other one essentially is this similar product, but it's aimed at corporations. So what we've done there is that a corporation will offer the app to their employees, and then the corporation gets a de-identified aggregated data on essentially the mental wellness of their workforce.
So it's a
very unique product, and we're very proud of it. So in other words, if I can give one example of back in Australia, there's a large global accounting firm that's using it now. We can tell the human resources people which one of their offices around the country are shaping up better or worse than other offices. And what that does, of course, is that allows the company to focus their efforts in turn, because most companies do a lot for people's physical and mental wellness, but often they don't know whether those programs are working. So with our product, we can provide them with data that will allow them to make better decisions as to how they target those programs.
Right. I could know if the programs are working, but I also could know where I need to focus more resources.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty incredible. We've had a lot of conversations with members over the last, you know, 2-3 years in the stress of the pandemic, the work from home, the hybrid work, all of these things that they are looking for new ways, better ways to support their employees. That's really fascinating to hear. I'd be curious, right? We've all gone through the pandemic in different ways. What's the last 3 years? What's the pandemic meant as far as how people are looking at mental or behavioral health issues, and how has that impacted MediBio?
Well, look, I think it's fair to say that it certainly heightened people's interest in MediBio. I think the industry as a whole, I mean, we always knew that mental health, you know, is an issue for most developed countries. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were flying under the radar of the industry for quite some time. And, you know, since COVID's hit, and of course, since that statement back in 2000, I mean, it's a few years old now, but since that statement about, you know, changing subjective methods into objective methods, certainly, you know, there has been an increased interest in what we are doing and what we are trying to achieve. So from that perspective, COVID has been good for us in that helped to raise our profile a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that one of the silver linings that comes out of this is the greater awareness, the greater recognition, and even just the greater comfort for people to engage in their own mental health.
Sure.
That will be a societal positive, but also a good for business. And if you're going to do business, this is a good area to be in, right? To be able to help people to make an impact. Like, you could be doing worse things in the world.
Yeah, well look, I should say that's one of the things that really got me interested in this. Yeah. I mean, look, the commercial side of the business, if we're successful, will be very, very, very rewarding. But what's more rewarding for me, at least, is that, you know, I can say that I've done something to in a small way to help make people's lives better. We all know how depression affects people's not only the patient, but the people around them, their friends and family. And it can be devastating, you know. And the thing is with depression, as we said before, it could last for years.
Mm-hmm.
Going untreated, the pain and suffering could be ongoing for many months, if not years.
Indeed.
So at least with this method, you could assess it and you could come to a diagnosis very quickly and accurately. And then, of course, you can, you know, better tailor make the treatment. And I should say, Frank, just at that point, one of the real benefits of this technology is that you can monitor a patient over time, and a clinician can assess whether they're getting better or not. As we stand here today, there really isn't any tangible way of knowing whether a drug regime or any treatment regime, for that matter, is working.
Mm-hmm.
Our methods will allow that to happen. You know, our objective method, you can baseline a patient one day, treat them, and then monitor them again to see if the treatment is working.
And that would be tremendously impactful. Doctors I've talked with, when they explain the pathways for treatment, they freely admit the challenges they run into, where you don't really know if it's working. And if you need to make a change, especially with some of the medications, the patient's got to let the drug flush out. Then you start a new drug. And the amount of time that gets spent that they know is ineffective and the patient is still suffering is just a tremendous burden. Anything that helps the doctor, helps the patient make those decisions better and faster, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I happen to think that the ongoing monitoring is even more powerful than the initial diagnosis.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, maybe as we bring it in for a landing, last question I'd ask you is, you know, what's next for MediBio? What's on your radar for the rest of the year?
Well, look, having said what I've just said, that's an easy question to answer. First and foremost, we need to get regulatory approval for our depression test. That's going to be absolutely crucial for us. And that's what we're working towards. So there's that. And then, of course, on the non-clinical side, the two products are relatively new, the corporate product and the consumer product. So we're now developing our go-to-market strategies for those. So we hope that they will gain market penetration in both the corporate sector and the consumer. So they're the three, the regulatory approval for our first product and the go-to-market strategy for corporate and consumer, they're the three areas of focus for us. The non-clinical side of the business means potentially it's early revenue for us. The clinical side, of course, we need to get to regulatory approval before we can start to commercialize that. But having said that, you know, we're not that far off anymore. After many, many years of research and pain and suffering, if I can put it that way. we are at the tail end of the process now. We're only months away from the validation trial. And as I said earlier, the data from that trial will be used to apply for a regulatory approval. So we're very excited. So it's a great time to be involved with MediBio, either as a shareholder or as an industry participant, or a stakeholder. It's a very exciting time.
No, that's fantastic to hear. And I got to say a huge thank you to taking your time today to share that story, because it's such an important area, and the work you're doing truly was, I would use the word revolutionary, that it could be a revolution in making the diagnosis, the monitoring, and the treatment of very serious conditions better. So thank you for spending the time with us, but more importantly, thank you for doing this good work.
It's my pleasure for being here, Frank, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our technology and our company. Thank you very much.
Indeed. And folks, that's another episode of the Medical Alley Podcast. If you're not already a subscriber, make sure to check out medicalalleypodcast.org, or you can find it on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Until next time, have a great day.